We gather on this Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, continuing our joyful celebration of this Eastertide. In fact, we have 50 days, 7 weeks, in which to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, and I think also in some ways to spend some time understanding as much as we can what this resurrection of Jesus means, coming to terms with as much as we can what has happened. What does it mean that we heard for the first time last week, in this Easter season at least, we heard the first time last week about the tomb with that door rolled, the stone rolled away, Jesus not there, with angels, with Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. What does this mean? How do we wrap our minds around something which is at some level confounding and difficult to understand? As we ask these questions, we have this year, as we do each year on this Sunday, the story of Thomas from the Gospel according to John. And Thomas is famously known as the doubter, doubting Thomas. And while certainly Thomas asks questions about what's going on, what are you talking about? Jesus is raised, I haven't seen him, I can't believe till I see. I think Thomas actually, if you look broader than just today's gospel, has a very important role, at least in John's gospel, and has at times asked or said something which then leads Jesus to say something really important. A few weeks ago, we had the account from John's gospel of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And before Jesus goes to see Lazarus and his sisters, he gets word that Lazarus is sick, and they ask Jesus to come. And his disciples say, Lord, you can't go. That's near Jerusalem. They want to kill you. But Jesus says he is going to go, and that they must accept that he's going on to Jerusalem to die. And Thomas says, let us go that we may die with him. Thomas embraces that reality and pledges to be there and to be present with Jesus as he goes through his passion. Then later, at the Last Supper, Jesus is teaching about the fact that he must go away. They will not see him for a while, but he will return. And he tells them, but you know where I'm going. Again, Thomas is the one who says, but Lord, we don't know where you are going. And Jesus tells him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So there's a sense in which Thomas has that ability to say what needs to be said, to ask what needs to be asked. There's also a sense in which Thomas is asking nothing that the others haven't experienced. Last week we heard about Mary Magdalene. She goes to the tomb, it's empty. She can't comprehend this, she's standing there weeping. And Jesus appears to her, calls her by name, and she realizes he is risen. And she rejoices. She tells the other disciples, but they don't quite believe because in today's gospel they are locked in that upper room and they are afraid. They are not living in joy of the resurrection, but in fear. But then we're told Jesus comes into that room, even though the doors are locked, and he appears to them, and they believe. And they see in his wounds that he is the same Jesus that called them, the same Jesus that taught and preached and healed, that they walked with, that same Jesus who died on the cross. There's a way in which Thomas is asking only what the others have already been given, that ability to see the risen Lord, and in seeing, to believe. And in John's gospel, this sight, seeing, is incredibly important. In the opening to the gospel, we hear about the light come into the world in the incarnate God, Jesus. About how that light comes into the darkness, though the darkness and the darkness will not overcome it, though not all will receive that light. But the light comes into that darkness that all might see. In John's gospel, miracles are signs, ways in which we see Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. It's through those signs that people come to see exactly who Jesus is. And so it is that Thomas is just asking for that sight. I won't believe unless I see. And so we're told a week later, after the others have had this experience, they are again in that room, the doors are shut, and Jesus appears and says to Thomas, here I am, see, touch if you need. It is I am risen. And so Thomas comes to believe, and not just believe, but is one of those people in John's Gospel who, in believing, expresses the bedrock of faith. He calls Jesus my Lord and my God. The interesting thing about Jesus coming to Thomas that I'm struck by is that Jesus comes and doesn't say to Thomas, "Oh, Thomas, why couldn't you believe? The others saw and believed. Couldn't you listen to them? Mary Magdalene saw me and believed. Wasn't that good enough? Was it enough when I appeared last week?" There's no judgment. There's no "you ought to, you should." Instead, Jesus comes to Thomas and does exactly what Thomas needs: to see in Jesus the risen Lord, to see Jesus as that Messiah who God raised on the third day. Jesus comes to us not in judgment, but giving us what we need when we ask those questions of faith, when we can't quite understand, when we can't quite see what's going on. There's Jesus coming to us as we need. The gospel today ends with, in fact, this witness that here is what has happened to those who walked and lived alongside Jesus, those to whom he appeared. "We say these things to you so that you may believe." This book, the witness of these apostles, is our testimony. And so although we do not have that sight, we have the gift of the Gospels. We have the gift of the experience of these disciples, of Mary Magdalene, of those in the upper room, that Jesus is risen. Though it's hard to comprehend, hard to believe, sometimes really hard to accept, we have their testimony. And that testimony says that the one who was dead lives, that death is not the end, that fear and hatred and violence, though they've done their worst, did not triumph. In Christ, you are safe. All shall be redeemed. Jesus comes into that upper room and gives them some instructions. He comes into their fear. They're hiding, they're worried that the authorities may come after them next. And into that fear, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." That peace of God, which is stronger than fear, stronger than the threat of the authorities, that gives them courage to get outside of that room, to not be walled in behind their fear. And even their fear can't keep Jesus out. He can come into that place and say, "Peace be with you." He then says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and breathes on them. That gift of God, that same Spirit that moves over the waters of creation, that same Spirit we heard a few weeks ago moved over those bones in that dry valley, bringing life to them. That Spirit of God which brings life, which empowers, which is the presence, the abiding presence of the resurrected Jesus with us. Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then says to them, "Those whose sins you forgive are forgiven." And not in that sense of being very judgmental and very stingy with forgiveness, but that call to live that forgiveness of Jesus, the one who on the cross says, "Father, forgive them." The one who, even when he is being killed, practices love and forgiveness. That's the call. And that's made possible by the presence of the Holy Spirit, to be people of reconciliation, of love, of forgiveness, forgiving time and time again, forgiving even when we don't want to, not being stingy and controlling and judgmental in our forgiveness. And then Jesus, empowering them by the Holy Spirit, sends them out. "As the Father sent me, so I send you. Go out into the world and live this reconciliation. Your mission is to be people of healing and forgiveness in the broken and needy world." At the Book of Common Prayer, there is the Catechism, outline of our faith, and under the heading of the Church, the question is asked, what is the mission of the Church? And the answer is, the mission of the Church is to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. That's the call of the Church, to be people of reconciliation, to be reconciling, to be restoring all people. For ourselves to be restored, to be reconciled with God, self, and neighbor. And the Church calls all to do that. And so we are to be Christians, followers of Jesus, people living in the world to practice that reconciliation, heal divisions, to work for that unity with God and with each other. And this is all possible because of the power of the resurrected Lord through the Holy Spirit. Fear cannot hold us and bind us. Resurrection sets us free into that new reality, to imagine people reconciled, living in unity. That what binds us together, to be bound together in Christ, is more important than anything that might divide us. And that just as Jesus, we can surrender that need to be in power, in control, to always be right. We can surrender that need through the resurrection and love and forgive. The reality is that the world around us does not operate this way, and the world around us is full of division. We don't need to say much about what's happening in Washington, but the political impasse that exists there, and the inability to talk person to person. Or the gridlock in the Middle East, and the violence, and the inability to establish peace there. Or all those places of war and violence and conflict where might is used to oppress other people. And even in our own families, in our own work environments, there's division and strife. There's not always love and reconciliation. And so on this day, as we move into this season of Eastertide, may we accept that call of Jesus to be people empowered by the Spirit, having experienced the risen Lord, who are sent out to be reconcilers. Like Thomas, like the disciples, may we encounter the risen Lord as he comes to us in Scripture, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers, and in those we encounter who bring to us that presence of the risen Christ. And may we be that presence for this world, so that we can go forth full of the Holy Spirit to witness to what we have seen, to how we have encountered this risen Lord, and to be people who work to transform the world, to be partners with God in that work of reconciliation and love, healing division, and bringing all people to unity with Christ. May the Holy Spirit strengthen us, renew us for that work. May we say yes to that invitation. Amen.